You don't have to raise your hand. In fact, I'd probably prefer you not to raise your hand. Because I was talking to someone about, we are now video the whole service. And I was teasing them about, if you think the sermon is too long, do not fast forward. So my question to you is, how many of you are clock watchers? Now don't raise your hand, because I don't want to know. We used to have some fancy software that when we made sort of like robo calls, we did a recording, and then it would dial all the numbers of our membership. And I think I mentioned this to you. It told us when we didn't get an answer, when we got an answering machine, when we got a human being to answer the phone, and it told us how long they stayed on the line. So if they heard that it was a message from the church office and they went click, we knew. In a way, in some shape or form, we are all clock watchers. We look at it for any number of reasons. To get to work, to leave work, you know, breaks, dinner, lunch. We look at it for recipe purposes. How long does it take to bake these at what temp? We are clock watching kind of people. But there's something that spiritually happens. Not just physically that we watch the clock. But we start to define time. Have you ever had anything take too long? What made it too long? You know, right? In a restaurant, if you're waiting for your meal, what did you expect? We watch the clock and we have expectations. We wait for the doctor. When we have expectations for our appointment time. We sit in traffic and we have expectations of when life is to move on. And in a sense, in our heart and in our mind, we're wanting to go forward at our own pace, according to our own schedule, to accomplish our own desires. And that's dangerous, spiritually dangerous. Now, how do I know this? Because it happened in history, it's been happening, and it continues to happen. The people of Israel in the days of the prophet Isaiah, that's where the Old Testament is from, chapter 55, the people of Israel got tired of waiting. And because they got tired of waiting, they began to be a little bit distracted, and then totally distracted, and then totally, completely obnoxious kind of way, disconnected from God. The way they watched the clock for God to fulfill their promise, his promises to them, was very well modeled when they were in the wilderness. They didn't have any water. And they complained. We don't have any water. We're going to die out here. We could have stayed in Egypt and had food and everything. Well, God provided water from the rock. And when God didn't do what they wanted him to do, then they would rebel again and again in the days of Moses. So more than once, God provided water in a miraculous way. God provided manna from heaven and the quail. God provided according to his promise. But that was not enough. And by the time in the days of Israel, they were at the same attitude and the same routine. In fact, they became so distracted that they now had incorporated in their life other gods, false gods, idolatry. And when Nebuchadnezzar led the Babylonians, he was the king, and he led the Babylonians to come and capture Judea and Jerusalem. And they took the king, Jehoiakim, and they took him captive back to Babylon, and they put a puppet king, Zedekiah. And Zedekiah says, ooh, I'll be king. And then Zedekiah stopped watching. He didn't do what God told him to do. And because of that, Zedekiah's sons were killed, and Zedekiah ended up being blinded. And he too ended up enslaved. And God had a promise, but the people were clock watchers. And when it didn't happen, they stopped looking for God's timing. They wanted to create their own. And so earlier in the chapters, right building up to chapter 55, you have God's response to these unfaithful clock watching people. That God is going to send a suffering servant. That God is going to send his son. And that servant is going to be, as the Old Testament says in one of our hymns, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He is going to be wounded for our transgressions. You know, and by his stripes, we, the God's people, we end up being healed. And so as that servant accomplishes that, now we get to 55, and this is all prophecy. This is going to happen in the future from the days that Isaiah is speaking. And in chapter 55, now you have, this is what the servant invites you to. And the Hebrew here, in that invitation word, come, it's a command word. It's not just, well, if you want to come, come on down, you know? No, it's more like The Price is Right, Bob Barker. Come on down, you know, and people in the bench, in the pews, in the seats, they'll say, well, let's talk about this, you know. No, they're all excited and they run down. This is an invitation of the marketplace. Come and see what I'm offering you. Come now. Keep your eyes on God and come. Because now is the time to come. It's not time to think about it. It's now. But you see, the people of Israel had, if it wasn't their kind of now, and if it wasn't their kind of present, that is, the here and now, they created their own. And they started to have an attitude like, if it's not now, it's going to be never. God ain't going to do it. He's not going to keep his word. And their unfaithfulness increased. But you and I have a joy that we get to know that God keeps his promises, doesn't he? That God did indeed send that servant, the one servant. And especially during the time of Lent, we hear and read those words from the prophet Isaiah about the suffering servant. And all the things, all the promises that he fulfills. And this invitation goes out again during every Sunday of the year. It is time to come. It is time and always time, immediately time. Now is the time that we come before God. And the prophet tells us why. Because in the marketplace language, God is offering something that you can't get elsewhere. He's offering a bread that doesn't run out and a bread that satisfies. He's offering water that quenches thirst. Instead of a beverage that you have to drink and drink and drink and you still feel thirsty and it's not quenching, it's not satisfying, it's not helping. He's offering something that the world cannot give. He's offering living bread, as Jesus says in the Gospels, or living water. You know, he offers the Son, Jesus Christ, to his people. And the invitation is to come. And then he says, what happens when you partake of this by God's invitation is that it brings you life. And there's nothing else, there's no resource in this world that gives you the life that God gives you. So what's the problem? God still asks us to come. It's in the Lord's Supper. Come and receive the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. God still invites us to come, to hear the gospel, to have your sins forgiven, to be restored, renewed, to have the peace of God fill your very being. God still invites us to come. But we inherited clock watching. We become impatient. The service takes too long. The sermons are too long. We have to sit and then stand and then sit and stand. I call it Lutheran aerobics, you know, for the worship service. We have to drive in Murfreesboro traffic clear across town. I mean, this place is so huge now, right? You know, I heard the same thing in my first parish. It was a town of 20,000, 4.5 miles long, you know, a little wide, but people complained it took so long to get the 4.5 miles. I don't think it's about the distance or the traffic. I think it's just about the way we watch the clock and the things that we crave that are not instantaneously gratifying. I think it's the way we perceive how fast food and fast living and fast times quenches our hungers and satisfies our being, and yet it gives us very little nutrients and it leaves us empty, craving more. I think Lay's potato chip had the perfect slogan, "Bet you can't eat just," remember? "Just one." Yeah. I've never eaten just one M&M. I've never eaten just one French fry. Unless I was taking it from one of my kids. It just doesn't work for us. So into the clock watching, I want to offer you something different. So that you can have a biblical paradigm, a biblical view about time. Because under our clock-watching metaphor and under our preferences, God is supposed to be at our command. And the biblical word is, we are not making God at our command. Instead, we're at His. The people of Israel ended up in slavery because they refused to obey God, to be following His instructions, and they turned away. God invites us to come to be His people, and that's a privilege. It doesn't put God in our debt, it puts us in His. It's called grace, it's undeserved love. Can you imagine? We are invited to come to receive something that no other store or resource humanly created can give you. But the truth of it is, we have these worldly desires in our heart. It's like craving carbs, you know. It's all the stuff that we want in this world. There's a reason I do not have a sports car, because I would drive too fast. It's just that simple. It's just not good. It's not good for the community, and it's not good for me. It's not good for my safety, and it's not good for my budget. Because if I get a ticket, let's say it's $100, Gwen gets to spend another $100. It costs me double. And yet, I can still find myself craving speed. Isn't that stupid? And on, you have your cravings and desires. And what it does is it takes us from looking to God for joy and peace and contentment and forgiveness and the real meaning of life. It takes us from looking to that to looking to the things of the here and the now, because we're looking for instant gratification. So our view of time changes by faith to realize, as the Bible says, with God, a day is like a thousand, and a thousand is like a day. That's a poetic form. And it's just saying, God keeps his word. You don't have to watch the clock, because God will do it in his own timing. He is faithful to his kind of time. In fact, when it says Jesus came, it says, when the time had come. That's what the Bible says. When the time had come, God sent his only begotten Son. We do not need to watch the clock as if God is fulfilling our definition of time and sequence. What we do get to do is we get to focus on God, whose focus is on us, who gives us all that we need for body and soul. And so instead of living for the here and now, or instead of doubting God that it's now or never, if he doesn't do it today, God's never going to do it. I've heard that actually from people who go to church. But we get to live in the eternal now. That we are God's people now, restored and redeemed. That we are God's people now and forever. We are people that come before him to receive the bread and the wine, the body and blood, to receive Christ our Lord, the living water. He gives us what we need, and we know that at one day, not only do we have life in Christ now, but one day it'll be even better. We will have it in full in the kingdom of heaven after the day of resurrection. We get to change our way of thinking, and that changes our priorities and the way we watch the clock. And now my time's up. We get to come because God says come. We get to receive because God chooses to give. And we get to rejoice. Now and forever. Amen.